going to do all the kids together. I want a big shout from you guys around the microphone, okay? You're going to take it away. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, He'll take you up on that, guys. Follow that, Tristan. Okay. Do you two want to do it together? So here we go. They're going to outdo you lot. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said,
Here am I. Send me.
Brilliant. Thank you, volunteers. Amazing. Amazing. And it's about all of us being willing. That's the only qualification that we need. The other reading, you'll be pleased to know, I'm just going to read, is from Matthew 28. It's the Great Commission, verses 18 to 20, and it's on page 1000 of the church Bibles. And it's Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Thanks be to God.
When I was 19, I got invited to do my first ever international speaking engagement. And I was very, very proud of myself. And I remember thinking, oh, this is good. I'm beginning to make it in the world. I got an invitation from New Wine to speak at a conference in Sweden. And I thought, yes, Sweden, that's going to be fun. That's well far. So I booked my plane tickets and I thought, I'm heading off to Sweden. And I got given my brief. I was to talk about prophecy. And I thought, great, okay, I can talk about prophecy. So I wrote this, 14-page talk about the theology of prophecy. And it was good. And it was a really, really good, it was a great talk, and I was really excited to give it. So I get on my plane and I head over and I land in Stockholm. And ABBA is playing as I leave the aeroplane. And it's so wonderful. It's so fun. And I'm just getting really, really, really excited. And I get out of the airport and I go to the train station. I get on the wrong train and it all goes wrong from there. I couldn't pronounce things in Swedish, so I could read it. And all I knew is I had to get the train that was going to Gävle. And I was like, I need to go to Gävle. So I said to someone, "Is this the train to Gävle?" And they were like, "Yeah." So I get on, it was not the train to Gävle. I discovered a few hours later it was pronounced Gävle or something like that, and I just had no idea. So I ended up in this other town called Sundsvall, which was like 2 hours north of where I was meant to be. So the church had to come and pick me up and take me to the conference, and it was all going a bit wrong. So I arrive a little bit late. So I literally go in, and the first thing that happens is they're like, "It's time for you to speak." So I'm rushing in, and I'm on the stage of the church, and I've got my talk out, and I'm getting ready to go, and I get introduced, and they say, "This is George. He is going to come and prophesy over us this evening." I panicked. I prayed for the rapture to happen. I prayed for the earth to swallow me up. Because all I'd done was prepared this theoretical talk about prophecy. And they'd asked me to now prophesy over this group of about, 300 people. And I was freaking out. So I said, "Oh, can I have 5 minutes? And so the worship band came back on and started singing. And I was literally in the corner going, "What am I going to do? What do I do in this situation? This is awful." And literally I prayed. I was like, "Lord, I need faith. I don't know what I'm doing." And literally, I just sat there and I actually drew a picture of a lady. All I had was this picture of a lady, and I'm back on here and I'm like the headline prophet for the evening. And I'm looking at this picture and I'm looking around going, maybe she's here. And lo and behold, I picked out a lady that was dressed exactly like it. And I just felt the name Roseanne come to my head. And so I'm standing at the front and I said, is your name Roseanne? And she said, yes. And I thought, no, I don't have... I couldn't believe it. And so the surprise on my face was apparent. I think everyone there was like, whoa. Like, I was like, really? You know, I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. And her name was Roseanne. And then at that point, I thought, well, I don't have anything else to say to you. I don't know what to say. So I just spoke, you know, as words came in. And she was like, yes, that makes sense. And I thought, great. And then it was just like, oh, I'm on a roll now. Because you suddenly realize, when you realize that actually God is in something, when you realize that God has got it, you can just go with it. And it's fine. But once you can pick someone out without realizing it and go, your name is Roseanne, and they go, yeah, it is, yeah. It's all easy after that. Do you know what I mean? And I got there and I had no idea what I was doing. I was not qualified. I was qualified in talking, but not in prophesying. And it just happens because God has got it. And so when we look at Isaiah and we take Isaiah seriously, God is serious when he says that all he needs is us saying, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. That's all it needs. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never been on a training course for how to do prophecy over people. I'd never done that. All I'd had was words where I've been like, oh, yes, I feel like the Lord said, you know, he gave me a picture of a tree for you. That's all I'd done before that moment. But when God's got it, God's got it. All we need to say is, send me. I had no idea what I was doing. He always knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. God is looking for people to say yes. I've had other experiences that have not been so good. I was on holiday on the island of Kos a couple of years ago with my family. And I was reading, I don't know if you've ever read Robbie Dawkins' book, Do What Jesus Does. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And it was, you know, it was a really good book. And I was really challenged to just do what Jesus does. And I felt like, the Lord's given me for a word for this lady at the poolside. And so I went up to her and I was like, you know, I really feel like the Lord is saying, you know, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what I said. And it was something long and poetic and beautiful. And I'm sure of it. And then she looked at me and she started speaking Russian. Clearly couldn't understand what I was saying. I panic at this moment going, what do I do? I've just kind of given this long word to a Russian lady. So I thought, well, the only thing I know how to do is to speak in tongues. So I don't know if you know what the gift of tongues is a gift from God that he gives us where we speak in other languages. And so I was just like, well, I might as well. So I spoke in tongues at this lady. Then I freaked out and legged it. And I was just like, I splurted out some stuff and I just ran away. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you if it affected her in any way or if she understood. I'm going to go, yes, her life was changed and she, you know, saw salvation spring up from the ground. But somehow I think maybe not. We give it a good go. And because God has got it, God has got it. We just get to go. We just get to enjoy this. We get to have fun when we step out and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. In Matthew 28, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. My favorite thing about this verse is when Jesus comes to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. I think often we forget that bit is how that verse starts. Sometimes the first thing we read is therefore go, but we forget the bit that comes before the therefore. We forget that bit. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, therefore go. See, I think sometimes we think that it's our job to save the world. Sometimes we think that it's our job to take the authority. But he's already got the authority. And if he's already got the authority, and if the Bible says, if Jesus says of himself, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, how much authority does that leave to everyone else? I need an answer. If Jesus says all authority has been given to me, how much authority is there left for anyone else? None. It's very simple maths. It's really, really good maths. If he has all of the authority, that means there is no authority left for anybody else. Which means that if he has all of the authority and we go in his name, we are not going to face anything that has authority over us in his name. He has all the authority, therefore go. Therefore go. We get to go, we get to love, we get to take risks, we get to be brave, we get to love people as Jesus loves them. And he has all the authority and we can't go wrong because he's won it. As wrong as it looks like when I'm you know, running away from someone because I've just, you know, shouted at them in tongues, or as wrong as it looks like when you know, I don't know what I'm doing in front of a big conference, it's okay because we take risks and we step out because he has all of the authority. We're only sent out in the knowledge that God has won the day. I have one more story to share. This is probably my favorite thing I've ever done in terms of mission. I was in Las Vegas a few years ago, and Las Vegas is a crazy, crazy place. I was with a team of people and we were having words for people on the street, and it was fun and it was good. But I remember thinking, this is good, but I just want to push it a little bit more and just see what God can do in this situation. And so I just really felt that God wanted me to go to Caesar's Palace, one of the casinos in Vegas. And specifically, I really felt God say, I want you to go to the spa of Caesar's Palace. Yes, it was God. It was God saying, go to the spa, George. It wasn't under my own initiative. And I don't know, you know, when I was in Las Vegas, I didn't go, I went as a missionary and I had no money. So I could not, of my own accord, afford the spa. And so instead, I just kind of thought, well, God, you're going to have to get me into the spa. So I'm walking in my flip-flops and my Union Jack shorts, and I'm walking into Caesar's Palace, and I'm getting ready to try and go to the spa, because that's a fun thing to do. And then this big security guard, very muscular guy, is standing in my way. And I thought, what do I do? You know, how do I get him to let me in? So I go up to him, and I just say to him, hi, my name is George. I'm a Christian, and I feel like the Lord really wants me to go into the spa. I literally said it to this guy's face. And you never guess what? He said, oh, okay, well, come in. It costs $80 to get into this spa. And the guy was like, yes, I'll just come in. I'd been eating like 99 cent store sandwiches earlier in the day. And now I'm suddenly in the spa at Caesar's Palace, you know, in my Union Jack shorts. And in I go. And I'm walking around and I'm having a nice time. And then I just see a guy and I just knew this is the guy I'm here for. And I went and I said to this guy, this kind of, you know, I don't know, gentleman in his 60s. I said, I really feel like the Lord has sent me here. And I told him the story about how I got in. And he said, oh, that's good. I was upstairs in my room and I'm a Christian. And the Lord said to me, I should come downstairs now because he'd sent someone to meet me. And so we just ended up in that situation together. And I said, well, you know, what can I pray for? And he said, well, I'm here in Vegas on treatment, actually, because I've got liver cancer. And I'm here to be treated. But I felt like the Lord was going to send me someone to come and pray for me, pray for healing. And so I sat down with him and we prayed together. We prayed for healing. And we didn't take any contact details. I don't know whether he was healed or not. But something tells me that if the Lord has made it so that I can get into the Caesar's Palace spa, and if the Lord has made it so that I can just get passed through security and everything, I feel like the Lord, if he can do that, then he can heal liver cancer. I feel like he can. And so I have faith that that's what happened. All we need to do is say, here I am. We don't even need the money to get into the places. We don't need any qualifications. We don't need any of that stuff. All we need to say is, I'm here. Send me. I'm here. Send me. Nothing. You don't need anything. You just need you. You just need your willingness. You just need to put your hand up. One of my favorite, I've shared this nearly every time I preach, because this is my favorite passage of scripture from Colossians, where talking about Jesus, Paul writes, he is the exact image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation, the eternal. It was by him that everything was created, the heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them, all things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities. He has always been. It is his hand that holds everything together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the first of those to be reborn from the dead, so that in every aspect, in every view, in everything, he is first. If he is first, if he is that big, if he has all the authority, then we don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious about this stuff. We don't need to be afraid. When we step out in his name, nothing can hold us back. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can get in the way. And there may be little things that stop us on the road. There may be little things that kind of are annoying. We might even find ourselves like Paul in jail. We might find ourselves like Paul, you know, he was martyred for this, but he knew that even that could not stop God. Nothing can stop God. All the authority in heaven and on earth is with him. And so when we step out knowing that he's already won the day. Every injustice has already been corrected. He has reconciled the world to himself. And it means that we can step out in the confidence of knowing that he has got it all held together in his hands. It carries on to say, you were once at odds with God, wicked in your ways and evil in your minds, but now he has reconciled you in his body, in his flesh, through his death, so that he can present you to God holy, blameless, and totally free of imperfection. God promises to include us in his plan, because on the cross he has included us in his body. He includes us in his plan because on the cross he has included us in his body. We are found in Christ. We are found in Christ. So what he does, we do, and we need not worry. Every Christian, every person of faith, whether they are alive or whether they have passed on to glory, they can be found in his body, and it means that we can't lose. The whole world is going to be in his body, and it's good. It's good. He's on the cross. God is reconciling all things, everything to God. And that's good news. So can you put your hand, in fact, let's just say after me, I'm not going to worry. A little bit louder. I'm not going to worry. He has all the authority. He's already won the day. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Amen. Thank you.